The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to us live on the radio, on our app, The Cure, or on Roku, The Cure Channel, on Fire TV, or on Android TV, or GodIsTheCure.com, or you can listen to the recorded shows later via any podcast app. I'm also joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov, who is my partner at work and in life.
Hi, everybody.
This show deals with suffering, challenges, and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward despite any obstacle with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information, because education is key, transparency is needed, and I believe we can help each other. For me, my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know that we're not alone. The song I just played has to do with today's topic, which is suicide. It also brings me back and reminds me what it's like to fall apart. The price that the loved ones had to pay is so expensive. It's a topic that nobody likes to talk about. You try to bury your feelings, your head bowed, and sometimes we compromise our soul. It's good to remember the past so it's not repeated, and it keeps you in check that suffering in this world is still real. Today, I want to talk about depression and its most strong presentation, suicide, and how to help others, those with our friends that are suffering. Today's guest is Greg Horn. Greg Horn is the host of a radio program called Hope Is Here, a coach, a motivator, and a speaker. Greg himself battled his own depression and thoughts of suicide after losing his business, his home, and his marriage. With God's guidance, Greg is offering hope through his voice and providing a platform for others. Hello, Greg, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to The Cure.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
Good, thank you. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. You have a very important topic to talk about. I know that you have had a personal experience with suicide, as have many of us. And when you fell apart, what was the price that you had for others? Can you share a little more detail about the dark seasons of your life?
Yeah, Amy, back in about 20 years ago, March 1997, I had a $10 million business, and it started raining in Cincinnati, Kentucky, and it rained 13 inches in 24 hours. And so it was about a flood resulted, and it was about 2.5 days before I could get to my business, and I called my insurance agent while I was waiting for the water to recede, and got some bad news. He said, "Greg, you have every type of insurance except for flood insurance. There hadn't been a flood in 89 years in the Cynthiana, Kentucky area. Nobody had flood insurance." But I went from getting ready to be a multimillionaire in my mid-30s to being $2 million in debt overnight because of the flood.
And wow.
So, yeah, it was.
And you never know. I mean, life can just take you by surprise. That must have been super difficult on you. You must have worked your whole life to get to this point.
Yeah, it was a life-changing moment. You know, we all have them. And I heard a guy say one time, you know, God had only one son without sin, no son without, or daughter without sorrow. And so, you know, we know the tragedies and things are going to happen, but with the help of a lot of friends, family, the community of Cynthiana, I was able to reopen the store in about 21 days. Was fortunate to be in a John Maxwell book called Felling Forward, and thought, man, this is going to be a great miracle recovery story. But unfortunately, about 2 years later, I couldn't overcome all the flood debt, and most humbling moment of my life, my accountant and attorney both said, you're going to have to file bankruptcy. And so then I went home that night. My wife told me she didn't love me anymore and was leaving me for an old high school boyfriend. So I lost my business, my marriage, and I put the home up for the flood disaster loan. So I lost the big three, my business, my home, and my marriage in about a 24-hour period. So that was my dark season.
I mean, that must have been like your whole world coming down on you. That's, and everything at once. I can just imagine most people would come to a point of despair. I mean, especially your wife, the person that you love. That must have been very difficult, and God must really love you that you're still alive. Tell me, how is it that you were able to come out of the darkness of despair, feeling there was no reason for living?
Well, just, you know, one of the old saying, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time, everything I poured my heart and soul into was gone. But for me, the thing that was great about it, I was honest, I was angry with God. And I think that's the thing that I would share with our listeners, that it's okay to be angry with God and tell him, and didn't understand why the flood happened on my side of the street, not the Walmart Supercenter. And yet, as I was honest with my faith, family, friends, and some great Christian counseling, doing a lot of exercise. I actually was on an antidepressant for a while. Just, it was kind of a combination of things to help me get over the hump. But my faith played a huge part in that. I said, God, you know, I've been going to church all these years. I'm going to find out if this stuff's really real. And I started reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I was reading the book of Psalms each night before I went to bed until I fell asleep. And Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you, Lord, and I'm helped. And I wrote that on a post-it note, and I put it in the bathroom mirror. I put it in the dashboard of my car, on my laptop, just everywhere.
You know, it's funny that you should say, or it's interesting that you should say that you got angry with God, and it's okay to be angry with God. And I've had a lot of dark moments in my life, though I never blamed God, because I realized bad things happen. We're supposed to suffer. Why not? Jesus did. And of course, there's evil. Of course, there's the devil. Of course, we will be challenged in life. But I never really got angry at God, because I realized that no matter what I went through or how dark my times were, if I allowed God in my life to work through me, anything bad, anything dark, he'd bring the best out of it. He'd make something good come out of it. Because imagine, if you hadn't gone through this flood and you hadn't gone through these dark moments, would you have felt, let me see if this works? Would you have had any other choice? Let me turn to God. You could have stayed successful and felt like you didn't need God. So God cared enough, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. That's a great point. And heard Joyce Meyer say one time, you know, you can become bitter or better, but you can't be both. And as I read God's word, I really studied it, just reading it. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And he has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And just like what you chose to do with...
Yes, and the thing is that God always knows what's best for us. Not too long ago, somebody said, well, this is going to happen. And I said, well, how do you know this certain is going to happen? Oh, because I prayed a lot and nothing changes. And it's not necessarily that way. We don't know how God works. God works in mysterious ways. It's not like we can say, God, this is what I want, and God is our do-boy and immediately does it. No, God knows what's best for us. I like to ask God for his will, and hopefully, if I don't understand it, help me be strong enough to deal with it. And, of course, I'm sure God wants to know things that we want. And I think that the prayers that are most answered are, God, give me strength. God, give me a kind heart. God, give me good ears to listen, eyes to see the truth, things like that. But it can be very difficult. I know that when you're suicidal, it becomes very difficult. I've been there. I've been that suicidal person. And I always had faith in God, but sometimes you just feel like you don't deserve to live. And you don't deserve to help yourself. And how can God possibly help you when you're such a terrible person and you hate yourself? So, I understand perfectly, but here's the beautiful thing. God puts a person in your path that brings you out of it. Or the many things that you mentioned, Greg, all those things, I believe that it was influenced by God. Because here you are today, helping others. I believe that was the purpose. And that's fate.
Well, you bring up a great point. I think God never wastes a hurt in our lives if we allow Him to. And my faith did become real and personal. And I've been able, just like you, to be able to use my story of recovery and, you know, battling those thoughts of suicide because my identity was in my...
I want to invite our listeners to call in. If you're fighting dark thoughts of suicide, please call us. Greg, stay with us. We'll be right back.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure. And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. If this is your first time tuning in, we are talking about preventing suicide, and we are joined by Greg Horn. That song is interesting to me because the devil does keep dreaming. He does keep scheming. He's a poison in my life. He's been vicious. And when I was under his influence, I felt like I was drowning, and I never want to go there again. So it helps me to respect that there is evil and that I need to stay close to God. Greg, what role does faith have in helping others through the dark seasons of their life?
Well, I think it's just a huge component. You know, people will let you down, especially it seems like the people that are closest to us. You know, they sometimes hurt us, and so... Your role in faith is, when the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we put our hope in other people, we'll be let down. It's just, you know, God didn't wire us up as individuals to be able to meet each other's every need. Yes, we do need help from one another, and God, you know, changed the world with 12 guys, the disciples. But He's wanting us to have a personal relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus. Keep our eyes on Him. And so the faith component to me is huge, because that's one of the things I learned through the flood. All the material stuff, my business, my money, my cars, my home, all that stuff was temporary. It could be gone in a moment.
Yes, and just the same way that God works through people to bring about good, to do good things, the same goes for the devil. He does use people. And because he's always scheming, how important is it for us to surround ourselves with people that are lift us up instead of bringing us down? They say, if you don't want to get burned, don't go near the fire.
Well, that's a great point. And, you know, boundaries are important. And a lot of times the reason people lose hope is because they've gotten in such a negative environment. And that can be because of some of the people that we hang out with. And one of the things that I think is huge when you feel like you're suicidal and to have hope is to put yourself in a new environment that may be involved, you know, changing some of your friendships, family members. But I do believe that boundaries are important to help give us hope and put ourselves in healthier environments.
And also, besides support groups that there may be, tell me, what is the role of churches when it comes to addressing mental illness and suicide?
Well, I think it's a huge part. There's two aspects. Number one, being a safe place. You know, if people have cancer or they go through a divorce, absolutely, we want you to come and we want to help you through those wounds. But when people are dealing with depression, mental illness, having thoughts of suicide, the church needs to be a safe place where people can come with their wounds and just say, hey, I'm really, really struggling. And I saw a recent survey that a national organization did interviewing church members, and over 80% of the respondents just said, you know, I just need a friend or somebody to listen to me. And so I think, you know, the interesting part is God gave us two ears and one mouth, which proportionally means we probably should listen twice as much as we speak. I think being a great listener, part of a church, is just people being available to listen, you know, reaching out to people and letting people know, hey, we're a safe place. If you need to reach out to somebody, you're hurting, you know, if you've got cancer, you let people know. If you're going through a divorce, you let people know. If you have a death of a loved one, you're, you know, like, yes, I'm going to let my church know. But a lot of times people don't want to say, hey, I'm struggling with depression or I'm having suicidal thoughts. And I want to encourage our churches to be able to make it a safe place where people can say, hey, I'm struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts.
I'd like to know what church that is, because when I was struggling with depression and somebody was forcing me to abort my late pregnancy, and I went to three nuns asking for help, they told me to read the story of Job, because I told them how long I had been suffering. But I'm sure there's plenty of churches that will help.
Well, I think you bring up a great point. That is the thing, and that's where the enemy, Satan, has had a field day, Amy, is because people such as your experience has happened in church.
Yeah, I would say, because you think that people that are close to God, all they want to do is help others, because God loves us all, and He actually taught us to love others the way that He loves us. So, and I think that I've been running into disappointments in the Catholic religion, because that's where the devil wants to attack the most. And one time I even thought I was going to leave the Catholic religion until I caught on.
Well, I don't blame you, and I really apologize. I'm sorry that you had that experience. That's extremely disappointing, and it's painful. And it's one of the reasons I started Hope Is Here, because I wanted to provide a place for people to say, hey, you know, I don't feel like I can go to my church, or I don't even know that I can talk with a family member, but, Greg, you're willing to share that, hey, you were sexually violated as a child, and you went through the flood, the bankruptcy, the unexpected divorce. You went through all those things, and you're very transparent in your programs each day, sharing your hurts, sharing other people's hurts, and that's one of the things that's been a blessing, because maybe sometimes if a person doesn't get the help they need at the church, or like, hey, I can reach out to Amy, or I can reach out to somebody like Greg through Hope Is Here and be able to let somebody know I'm hurting, and I'll get a response.
Well, you're an amazing survivor, and if there's hope for you, there's hope for others. I believe that you developed an acronym using the word HOPE to help those who are really discouraged. Would you like to expand?
Absolutely. I just was praying, you know, when I started the Hope Is Here program back in December of 2017, just that, you know, God, what is it that, you know, how can I convey to people that there is hope? And so I spelled out the word HOPE, H-O-P-E, and then I actually met with a Dr. Melinda Moore, who is a specialist in suicide. There's actually a specialty called suicidology, which I was not aware of at the time, and just said, hey, this is an acronym that I felt like God's given me, but I want to make sure it's verified with scientific and, you know, medical and educational research. And she looked at it and she said, man, that's great. She said, you are right on. I said, well, that makes me comfortable sharing this. So the acronym HOPE, H-O-P-E, the first letter H is just to simply hold on. And I know that sounds so simple, but the fact of the matter, and you've been there, Amy, when you feel so overwhelmed, like there's no hope, you just want to quit and give up.
Hold on a little longer, it will pass. Yes.
Exactly. It's always darkest right before the dawn. I love the Bible verse that says in the book of Psalms that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure. And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabell, and this is The Cure. You can listen to us at 1 p.m. every Saturday Eastern. The radio, the app, The Cure, Roku, GodIsTheCure.com, or later in a podcast. This song really has special meaning to me, because sometimes it's best to let it go. The road sometimes gets quiet, and you feel alone, and you try to get by. It's a very sweet song. I had to let go and let God. I had to let go and let God. I have a reason to be depressed, but I'm holding on to God and I'm holding on to hope. Because when it came to my brain injured little daughter, she suddenly moved up to Chicago. She hadn't spoken to us in a couple months. We hear from her again because she needs help. We buy her some things for her apartment, and after requesting large amounts of money in a short period of time, we ask questions. She tells us that there's a voodoo curse on her, that her dog is going to die an incurable, terrible death. She's going to get cancer that she's not going to be cured from, and that it's spirits in the mountains that are asking, demanding this money, $3,500, and her psychic is the intermediary who's going to give the spirits the money. Then I find out the psychic lives in Chicago. Then I find out this relationship has been going on for 7 years. Then I find out that when my daughter survived her near-death experience where somebody tried to kill her, Valentine's 2016, it wasn't a miracle that she survived. It wasn't a miracle from God. It was the psychic that did some special healing ritual, and she was able to survive her 24-day coma where she almost died. So my daughter tells me, if I don't have this money by tomorrow, I'm killing myself because I can't live through this. So now I'm dealing with a daughter who's suicidal. So the psychic calls my husband, says, yes, I know she's suicidal. You should look at the texts she's sending me, and this is why you need to pay this money, and tells him that she works through God, and she's trying to convince my husband of this. So what do you do when somebody's suicidal? Okay, Greg, you have developed an acronym using the word HOPE to help everyone who are really discouraged. H stands for hold on. O stands for open up someone immediately. Open up to someone immediately. Talk to somebody. Ask for help. Don't be afraid to show your feelings or talk about it. It's not a sign of weakness. It doesn't mean you're broken. It just means you're not in denial. You've come to the terms that we need each other. And that's a start. Put yourself in a new environment. Surround yourself. Set yourself up to be happy. Live in a clean environment. Organize your things. Surround yourself with people that are good influences on you. Or stay away from the bad influences. That would help. Expect to see changes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, in that one, you got to do it in community with help, but it is a mental battle. But each day, just expecting things to get better and looking forward in the small things. I mean, you know, just the really small things. I think sometimes we focus on the negative, even if there's positive, whether it's the nice weather that we've got the sunshine or when it's raining.
You went out. Dark. Also, I think that it's important to believe in yourself, believe that there's hope. Believe that things will get better. Believe that this too will pass. I think that's very important because reality is what you believe, is what you see. If you believe things will get better, things will get better. Sigmund Freud once said, you can live as if everything's a miracle, or you can live as if nothing is a miracle. So attitude and frame of mind has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, attitude is, you know, Chuck Swindoll had the great thing he wrote on attitude and said that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react. And he said each day, you know, we are in charge of our attitudes. And even when the dark, overcast, cloudy days, you know, we know if we will focus on and expect to see changes, that there's a blue sky behind that, that is going to change. And I think it's kind of great how God has created the seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. We do go through those winter seasons, but you know, we can't get too depressed and too dark in that. and knowing that spring's going to come and things are going to bloom again, the sun is going to shine again. But yeah, I just think, you know, it is just like the seasons, knowing that we go through the winter and expecting to see changes, knowing that the spring is going to come again. And a lot of people are sports fans, and, you know, they get hope. The Chicago Cubs, you know, had never won a World Series, and then they finally win one. You know, just like our sports teams, we get hope and encourage and expect this is going to be the year that we're going to win. And the same way with our lives, that we're going to win. But I think what really causes us to not be able to expect to see changes, Amy, is when we play the compare game. When we compare, you know, one of two things is always going to happen. Either one, we might have it a little better than somebody else, so then pride sets in, and, you know, that's not a good thing. And then the other part, though, that happens a lot of times that causes depression and suicide is when we compare and we don't measure up with whatever measuring stick that we're using. We don't make enough money, or we don't drive the right car, or we don't live in the right neighborhood, or we compare ourselves to our siblings, our friends, people we graduated from high school with, and then we start to have self-pity and we get depressed because we play the compare game. And that's where the faith component's so important, that, you know, what God sees in me and not what people or the world measures me against.
Yes, and don't let other people define you. And it's important to know that depression and all these other things, you can come out of it, and there could be light at the end of the tunnel. But suicide is something that's permanent, and it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. How do we address that?
Well, I think the first thing is just doing like what you're doing and what I'm doing. You know, hope is here. Not today. You know, you've got your podcast, I've got mine. And when we know people that are struggling, to recommend those. And I think one of the things is, how do you start your day off is so important. I know I've got several people that listen to our podcast. We're on the radio Monday through Friday at 8:15 in the morning, and at lunchtime at 12:45 p.m. But he says, you know, I can't listen to it, but he listens to the podcast while he's getting ready in the morning. So he said, I'm filling my mind with good things, and I'm getting hope, and I'm hearing stories of other people who have overcome great obstacles, such as
maybe Amy, that's part of the ripple effect. Not only how it affects others when somebody has killed themselves, but also how we can help one another when somebody hasn't, when somebody has survived.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's lots of great stories that can encourage you on your programs, on mine. And I think the main thing is just letting somebody know, hey, I'm hurting. Because when you get that out there and somebody knows, everybody that's lost a friend or family member to suicide always says, you know, if I would have known they were hurting that bad, I would have done anything to help them. So that's
exactly
the first key, is letting people know how bad you're hurting.
Right. And there are many phone helplines when you're experiencing thoughts of suicide. Please call if you don't feel okay. For example, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 800-273-8255. You can even text a counselor for free. CrisisTextLine.org. There are many support groups around you, and you can be great of help. Thank you, Greg. And if anybody would like to call in, please feel free. We'd like to be there for you. When we come back, we'd like to continue talking to Greg about how to help those that are having suicidal thoughts. You're listening to The Cure. I'm Amy Cabo.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure. Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi, welcome back to The Cure. You're listening to Amy Cabo every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on The Cure Roku channel, GodIsTheCure.com. And we are joined by Greg Horn talking about suicide. The song is so beautiful. I do use songs as for them to be therapeutic, because I believe God sends us messages through songs, or he inspires the singers to sing the song we need to hear. And I imagine that God is beautiful, and he makes life beautiful. And I can just imagine him loving us even more, that he could possibly call us angels and say that he loves our imperfections, every angle. That reminds me of his unconditional love, and it's very soothing. All I had to do is accept God in my life, ask Him to take control, and I saw the end at the light at the end of the tunnel. I discovered hope. Greg, you mentioned, wish we would have known. I know that that's a lot of people's regrets, and it's a difficult thing to live with. But not everybody talks about it when they're depressed. They don't want to depress anyone else. They don't want anyone to know. How can we recognize signs in somebody that's suicidal when it's something they don't like to talk about?
Well, you know, texting is a great thing in a lot of ways, and in some ways, obviously, it can't be, because you can't feel the emotion, the people's words. But the great part about it is, when you know somebody's hurting, if you just text them, take 15 seconds and just say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you and praying for you today," that could be a game changer for somebody. It could be a lifesaver for somebody, just knowing that one person is thinking about them and saying a prayer on their behalf. And we all have 15 seconds. And the other day I was praying, spending some time with God, and just thinking about hope and how do you help people. And God said, "You know, Greg, you're busy and everybody gets busy." And He said, "I think we all want to make a difference with our one and only lives." But He said, "Just think about it. If you just intentionally send a text to one person each day and just pray and see who God lays on your heart and send it to that person to say, 'Hey, I was thinking about you this morning and I said a prayer for you to know how much God loves you.'" And just sent that, took that 15 seconds to do that, and you did that just one time a day, preferably in the morning before you get started with your busy schedule, but whenever, do it one a day. In a year, you would have helped give hope to over 300 people, and in 10 years, it'd be over 3,600 people. So I think sometimes we make it too complicated. We think, "Well, I don't know what to say or what to do." I know one friend that says one of the things they do, because they have a really busy schedule with wife, kids, a job, full-time job, but they'll just send a heart, an emoji with a heart on it, to a friend. And so, you know, you can do it in a simple way.
You never know. A kind word can go a long way. A kind act can go a long way. And it's true. Kindness is contagious. One kind of act leads to another. And you never know the darkness and despair that somebody's feeling. And what's the best light? What's the best way to show them the light? For me, it was prayer every day. I had to pray every day, because it wasn't enough to pray and ask God to help me, but I had to change my ways. And it wasn't that I prayed every day and I took this seriously. I realized that a lot of my bad behaviors I did because I didn't stay close to God. And I realized that I had to pray every day. And that's what kept me from the dark moments. Because I promise you, dark moments will happen. Challenges will happen. There'll be times that you want to despair. But if you stay close to God, nothing scares you.
Well,
everything you can handle. And it's just life. It's just so much better. Before, when I was depressed, life was hell on earth. Now I'm living paradise. And that's the difference, is night and day.
Well, I love Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." And when you put your hope in God and, you know, His Son Jesus, then that's where you can keep your hope. And then He also uses us as human beings to come alongside people. And I heard Manuel Scott say one time, he said, "Even on your worst day, you could be one person's hope." And so just acknowledging somebody, it could be the checkout cashier at the grocery store, asking, even though, yes, customer service, they should ask, "How are you doing?" But a lot of times, because people are hurting so bad, if you just say in a kind voice, "Hey, how are you today?" And just, you know, and really mean it.
Or even
it
just
amazing.
A friendly smile.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I heard a great quote by Hal Lindsey one time. He said, "A person can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without oxygen, but for only 1 second without hope." And so that's what you're doing by your program, Amy. And so I love what you're doing, your program and your book, and With Hope Is Here, Not Today. That's what we're doing, just trying to provide hope and let people know that if you could overcome all the just challenges that you had to go through, just some horrific things, and yet God helped you get on the other side of it. And that's what I try to do at Hope Is Here, Not Today. The same thing for both of us, with Love Is the Cure and Hope Is Here. That, man, if we realize and say, well, man, if Amy can do it and if Greg can do it, then I can do it, right?
That's right. The beautiful thing about awareness. And I noticed that of everything that I've been through in life, nothing has been better than us being there for each other. I know that even at times when I felt bad, whether it be my child or a pet, or like you said, the cashier at Publix, and it could just interaction with somebody that has a positive outlook on life or is a happy person can completely change your mood. And that's the beautiful thing about what God provided to us. He provided each other, and we all have a loving heart. It's just that some of us have gone astray. And for those, of course, we pray.
Right. And I also wanted to say something very important. Obviously, if somebody is feeling depressed, you should go see your doctor. Look for a psychologist. Or if your doctor refers you to a psychiatrist, there is nothing wrong with seeing a mental health professional. There is a lot of stigma that people are bad when they're depressed. But it's not true. It's like any other disease. Like you have earache. Well, depression is more severe, more strong, but people should have the same look at it and don't hide it. Don't try to avoid seeing somebody about it.
And not only that, there's many forms of therapy, from music to medication to a psychologist. There's also ketamine infusions and transcranial magnetic stimulation and yoga and acupuncture. And, I mean, even dancing, whatever works for you. There's many ways and many things that God has provided. If you're feeling bad, you just step outside and you look at the sky and nature and how beautiful it is. There's so many things I never took notice, so many things I didn't appreciate. I didn't realize that my neighborhood street had so much shade, which is helpful to me with a convertible, but I never noticed it before. And that's a big secret in life to keeping it together, is just appreciating everything you have, who you are, and where you're at.
Well, I love what Dr. Nikolov said there about the medication and seeing, you know, your doctor or counselor. You know, that was part of my healing process, Amy, was that, you know, my faith was a huge part of it, no doubt about it. And I think it starts there, but there's nothing wrong with going to your doctor. And like I said, for about 3 years, they helped me get over the hump. I did take an antidepressant on top of my faith, family, friends, exercising. I think a lot of times it's a combination of things,
yes,
but something to help get those endorphins going, such as an antidepressant. And I think a lot of people of faith think, well, my faith must not be strong enough if I've got to take an antidepressant.
No.
Depressant. And I think that's a lie straight from the enemy.
Right. That's just that you don't get help because he wants to keep you down. But yes, medication is needed, of course. That's why it exists. And sometimes we just need to get over that hump. I know when I was reading my book, I needed ketamine infusions. I don't need them anymore. That's not going to be me forever. But I'm okay with admitting that I need help. And I think that's a great start. But thank you, Greg, so much for being with us. Thank you for being on this show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I love your program. Thank you for
Greg,
what you're doing.
Are you still with us?
Hope. Thank you, Amy, for having me.
Oh.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was great
Greg.
To be on your program, and I love your program, God is the Cure, and how you're providing hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg. And I hope that you're helping a lot of people with your program, too, and I think it's great what you're doing, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
For more information on Greg Horn, and this radio show, Hope Is Here, can be found on GodIsTheCure.com under guests. This has been a pleasure, Greg. Thank you for being on The Cure. Now, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you help everyone who is suicidal. Guide them so that they may receive help that they need. Protect them. Prevent them from dying by suicide. We need them. We love them. Let them feel our love. and your love, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that you comfort the suicide survivors. Remind them that they are very special people. Remind them that they are heroes. Fill their minds with beautiful memories. Provide them with everything that they need, Lord. Ease their pain. Give them hope. Give them comfort. Give them guidance. Help them heal and help them in every way possible. Let them feel our love and your love, Lord Jesus. And let their suicide angels carry them on their wings when they're weary. Lord, we pray for your suicide angels. They are with you now, Lord, in paradise. These angels are among the highest angels in heaven. Their wings are magnificent, and their beauty is beyond imagination. Their love shines bright. Embrace them, Lord Jesus, with your love, and let their love continue to shine upon us down. Amen. And here is the daily word. We now sometimes feel like we are tired. Close to breaking down, sometimes we will lose hope, sometimes people will hurt us, but there is strength.
With Amy Cabo. For more information, or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.